for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. Today we have a very, very exciting topic, and it's all about understanding karmic relationships and soul contracts. And to talk to us about this topic, I have a very, very special guest. His name is Rajesh Singh. So let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Rajesh Singh. So Rajesh Singh is a spiritual happiness coach and a quantum hypnotherapist with more than 18 years of experience in behavioral transformation. And he has also been an energy medicine practitioner for psychosomatic disease management. So thank you so much, Mr. Rajesh, for being with me here today and taking the time off your busy schedule.
Thank you so much, Nia, for having me here in Illuminations and all the viewers of Illuminations who are watching us now. The topic, of course, is very, very exciting, and maybe because I'm also excited to share my experiences about what I have worked in this field with.
So. Absolutely. So let's just get straight into it, shall we? So my very first question to you is, let's start from the basics. Why do people come together into relationships? Let's start with that.
Yeah. See, when we talk about why of relationships, we all need companion. We all need someone to share our joy, our sorrows, our ups and downs, to share our experiences with. And of course, when you grow beyond the framework of, when you so-called pass your adolescent stage, you need that support from other than parental umbrella that you've been living with. So, many of the common reasons that we've come across is people come for companionship, people come for interdependency, people do come for emotional interdependency. One of the most exciting and very strange reason where people come together is opposites attract. What is missing in me, I find it in the other person. And what the other person has it missing, I complement that part of him or her. So people do come together under this convoluted theory of the charge of the opposites, as we say.
Because we hear that a lot.
That excites people because something that I am... if I get someone very similar wavelength, exactly with the same interest and things, maybe life would get boring because that's what I've been all about. Something that I need to explore about the other side is, I think, where people get excited to see two differently conditioned people when they come together. So that, of course, is exciting.
Now, the most important question. So when these people come together, of course, it's all great at first, right? Then why does it not work out? Why does it fall apart? And why do people talk so much about relationships and there's so much money spent into fixing relationships and so much heartbreak and grief? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
No, so again, the commitment is what it is all about. So as we grew from just being instinctual, as we started with wife relationships, when we were living purely in the jungle with animal instincts. Mostly we were attracted to each other purely because,
procreation
was there, structurally different, physiological needs were different. So we got attracted, came together. Slowly, gradually, society started forming around it. The third element called child was there in the picture. We had to form a social structure around it. However, over a period of time, we evolved. Today, in the millennial format that we look at, there are, of course, two different types of, individuals have come up. One thinks from the heart and the other one wants to operate out of head. So head-ruled and heart-ruled sides started coming in together. So four distinct type of personalities or relationships started coming in. So those who saw relationship as an entanglement and saw a hurdle to their own peace and calmness that they were enjoying, they were too complete within themselves. They chose to be asexual or even celibates at a certain level, and they didn't want to come into any relationship gamut. So they stayed away in a completely different complete zone. Second relationship was mostly now the new age millennial couples, where we say maybe they want to focus too much on their careers, and now we say ding couples, double income, no kids. That is one term which we've used it, and it actually sounds
double income, no kids. I've never heard of that before. Dink.
So, you know, people do, because the living standards, when we have to maintain all of this lifestyle, a lot of our own aspirations, where we want to build our own identity. So millennial couples do take their own sweet time to come together. And the third kind is, of course, the live-in types, where they want to try and test with that fear of commitment that they have. And ding couples, of course, have one peculiar thing, which they don't want children, obviously, because then that slows down their growth and, you know, the kind of ambitions that they have. And the fourth category is the entire package deal, you know, which most of us fall into, at least the Asians and, you know, some of our cultures, when we say that we want, like, you know, the disputes also coming together of the family, and the dysfunctionalities and the fights and the entanglements and emotional ups and downs and all of that. I think that also is the fourth category. So these are the four distinct categories.
So we have the celibate.
Celibates. Or asexuals.
Asexuals or celibate.
Dink couples.
Dink. And
the
then?
Live-in and the new age millennials.
So the live-in, new age millennial couples. And then finally the
complete package deal. So there are also millennial couples who want to settle, but there is tremendous amount of anxiety. So people do come for... And the old school counseling format, which is the post-marital counseling, is an old school thing anymore. Mm. We don't use it. There are people who are now more aware, and they are coming for counseling, which is premarital, which is one of the vast areas where they can actually, the way you match horoscopes, match numerology, or match so many other factors, we have our own matching criteria where we do the premarital matching that we do.
And how do you do that?
Oh, there are several factors that we use. There are a couple of things, what we call suggestibility, sexuality. And I do it purely with handwriting analysis.
Wow.
So looking at their handwriting, because there are karmic partners. And we talk about a concept called metaphysics of relationship. Why do people come together? Because people have different intents. What I'm saying, the charge of the opposites is nothing else but the plug and socket requirement of each one who inter, depend on the other person to fulfill their needs and desire. So let me tell you, what is this,
plug and socket?
Plug and socket.
Yeah.
So let's say a child... who did not get enough care, concern, or love, or neglect through the childhood. Maybe both the parents were working and the mother was not entirely available during the early childhood. And this child who's born and grown up from that part of neglect, which has caused that damage, that void within this girl, let's say. Let's take gender also into account. So this girl who's felt uncared for, suddenly this boy... who has a lot of available time where his freedom has taken into the, let's say he has fear of loneliness. So he needs to communicate to someone before he falls off to sleep. So this girl who's already putting up a status in the middle of the night, that feeling this or that, or some sob story, this boy will respond to in the middle of the night saying, oh, I needed a companion to chat with. And I started communicating with this girl, and I started fulfilling her requirement of, oh, wow, did you have your food? Or, how was your day? And all of that. Now the girl completely falls for this boy, finding that need and saying, oh, wow, what a boy. In the middle of the night, he's so concerned about me. And nobody ever showed that care and concern for me. Now that this girl will start liking this boy, she will start praising this boy, the appreciation which the boy requires, he will now fulfill and do even better each time to please the girl. And this relationship will stay like a plug and socket interdependency. And this relationship will go on in the honeymoon phase, like the La La Land phase, what we call it, in the first couple of months, to maybe a year and so on.
Because they both get what they want.
Exactly. And then that is where the appreciation and all of that, the moment they get on from that puppy love phase, when they grow beyond that, and when the real life strikes in, they go, in the real world, they start
and how
working
long that,
and all of that.
How long does that period
it
last?
It is very subjective for each kind of a couple, Neha. I mean, for few, it starts with 6 months, 8 months, 1 year. So there are differently suggestible people, as I said, the head ruled and the heart ruled ones. For the heart ruled ones, the Lala Land extends for years, maybe. They want to keep the newness going. But for the head ruled person, whoever, male or female, it ends too quickly, saying now the real life has hit. Now let's get on with life. Now how long you're going to be romantic? how long you're going to be, you know, giving into that softness
and
wait for each other endlessly. So there are all these karmic, you know, plots that we bring in. Because each one of us were so many times, let's say the incompletions from the childhood is what is driving basically the void and the needs that we have in relationship. And that's exactly the other person we look for to fulfill.
And we do this absolutely subconsciously.
Unconsciously, completely. And we have these needs, you know, like how recently we said that the root chakra, we talk about that we need food, shelter, and, you know, clothing. The fourth need is we need attention. Without attention, you cannot live these days. So the attention is what actually you're looking for. And if an emotional attention or physical attraction, whatever are the needs for which we look for this companion who extends that part, you know, sometimes it's even similar gender today, you know, the new age formats of LGBTQ connections also that built in. It's only what we're looking for is love, that attention from someone who is completely being there with me, undivided to fulfill all my needs of this emotional part. That's what I'm seeking.
So how does this now tie in with this word or this title, karmic relationships and soul contract?
Yeah. See, the soul is also a very misunderstood term. When we say soul, we are all here as a part of a living being who's the combination of body, mind and soul. We are a package. Soul contract, when we say before we came together in this physical body, there is something up there. We say marriages or, you know, connections are built in heaven.
Yeah.
This is the cliched line that we all use it. But they are truly built in heaven or made in heaven. There is a part of, let's say, a certain test or requirement or something that we are here to, what we need to talk about the destiny before we talk about the soul contract. Let's say there are imbalances that we've left behind. You know, people do have this controversial thought process behind whether the reincarnation is there or not. Let's say we were just coming down for an experience of marriage. Let's say, coming together. Interdependency, we were instinctuals. We evolved to become the human being that we are, social being. We had to come, play the shades of the seven chakras, the seven plots of life from security and, you know, interdependency, dynamism, attraction, control, procreate. Move on to love, express, give and receive, and then express your feelings at the throat chakra. Look for the vision, fulfill the life and move on. If this was the purpose, somewhere we get stuck, let's say, in a control game. Because what are we? When we were born just with the hard disk, which was blank, the first set of relationship, you know, example that we saw our parents, let's say. Even why am I being born to a set of parents who are either functional or dysfunctional? And in that functionality or dysfunctionality, we saw our parents behave in a certain way, where how responsible the father was, how the mother has been in terms of the equation with the father, how did my mother respond to my father, or how did my father, you know, treat my mother at that time. All of this actually we've got in our hard disk, which is our mind. Now when that mind executes, when you grow up, you start exercising your free will, the ego comes in as you grow. Beyond the age of 8 to 14, as we say, the basic suggestibility, how you interpret information from the social context as we develop, looking at the socio-economic, educational and religious conditioning that we go through. We see couples behaving with each other. And now we are building a format of, how these relationships are. So the soul contracts, there are two parts. One is up there in the heaven and then marriages are made there but maintained on the earth. as we say. So there are relationship lessons that we come for. Loved or, interdependency or love, receiving, giving, let's say, dealing with betrayals and developing trust, being available and, in terms of where we say, what can I say? Even sexual experiences at the end of it are karmic.
So you're saying like if, let's say, we were coming down to this earth to have some form of experience, let's say, out of the seven that you mentioned earlier, we are coming down to have some form of experience.
Yes.
And then we create these contracts at a soul level, at a higher level.
Purpose level, yes. Purpose because level. We are all here for a purpose. We are not just here to produce babies and die and earn and grow.
Hmm.
We have a purpose to support each other. Hmm. So when you choose a karmic partner, the karmic partner, because we are all also here to grow spiritually in terms of understanding, become more aware of certain moods, certain anger, resolve certain guilt, maybe traumas, resolve our own taking care and giving care to each other, because these are the things which basically a human requires. So the more social we started becoming, because if we, again, we just discussed that originally when you come down, maybe you're just coming down for a theme life, which is just one. But then you leave these karmic imbalances with attachments. I want to come back and experience this person even more. And when you die an unfulfilled death, there is a part of the journey of the mind which you keep coming back. Maybe each time there is a soul which is coming as a new experience, but the mind has these eternal contract things. So when you say soul contract, it's actually the soul and the mind put together coming down.
Oh my God, please give us an example.
More example.
Yeah.
So let's say a child is born to a family which is highly conservative, and there is one boy who's seeking a lot of awareness to, let's say, a very liberal and a freedom, free, new age sort of a family, which is more liberal in nature. So this conservative girl meeting a liberal guy, because she's never experienced this
freedom.
So requirement for that freedom gets her drawn to this boy who's completely committing into everything. And in the honeymoon phase, we all commit everything, whatever that you want to give.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, now when they settle together, their requirements, because in order to get committed to this person, you extended yourself because you wanted this beautiful, pretty girl. So I'll let you work somewhere. I'll, you know, give you all the freedom that is required. But then when the reality strikes, when they actually start living in a family dynamics, there are many more social pressures and norms and things that now start getting modified. Now this girl is not happy for the contract that she came in. Initially, the contract also begins from the earth context. I will give you this, you give me this. So there is a lot of this conditionality that builds in. And when that hurt comes in, when those needs are not fulfilled in relationship, because we all have these needs, is where the hurt sets in. Now you want to move apart. When you break apart, on what energy dynamics? Because there is your part of the energy which you exchange with the other person, and the other person gave you in terms of the contract. A lot of times you also say, like a simple statement which this boy said, whenever you need me, I will be there for you. And if this is one statement that you do not validate with time, because within this lifetime, this eternal commitment stays eternal and eternally true. Whenever you need me, I will be there. And let's say this boy dies. The girl is still waiting for him to fulfill that contract, saying, you told me you will fulfill that need of mine whenever I need you. So you have to keep coming back in that contract with me.
Oh,
so
my.
Now each time I have an emotional need, this person has to come down, because that's again the soul commitment. It's a soul fragment which you're committing to each other.
So are you saying all these romantic things that we say in relationships, like, oh, I will never leave you, or oh, I will never forget you. These are essentially eternal contracts you're making.
100%. In India, we also do this contract at the marriage for 7 lives. So, you know, those 7 rounds that you take around the fire pit around, you know, which is the sacred fire pit that we call it, yagya.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take these 7 rounds, now they've reduced to 4 rounds. But then each life that you're committing to, where these are the eternal commitments that we make. And then you have to keep coming back, because it's embedded within your mind and the soul. And when you don't fulfill, because see, when we say karma, there is also a dharma. There's a duty of a soul as well.
And dharma is duty.
The duty. So let's say if you didn't fulfill that duty correct, let's say a boy who could not protect the girl or not provide for the way he committed her to be, and to take care of all her comforts and requirements and needs. And when she blames him for completely, and maybe this relationship turned very sour, and then there was like an abuse or, you know, some hurt that happened, or some emotional or sexual abuse, whatever that comes about, you are responsible for that damage, that imbalance that you are creating. So there is a certain sense of revenge that comes in. There is a certain sense that next life, maybe I want to be born as a boy and you being a girl. And I want to reverse this entire cycle, because where we say karma, what is karma? It's what goes around comes around. So somewhere you have to wind up that imbalance and the you know, kriya that you left behind. And there is an emotional drama that gets entangled.
So how do we have a peaceful relationship?
by simply being in, again, because there is, again, if I say, it'll be cliched where I say unconditional love. Now, that unconditionality is the biggest condition that we put it in our relationships always. I want you to love me unconditionally. Now, that love is nothing else but the unconditional acceptance we are looking at from the other person.
Wow.
So when you are looking at that unconditional acceptance, what are we? Because I have flaws. So accepting the flaws in the person, we make the biggest mistake by being somebody else when you try to meet someone in order to please. We all have this deep need to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Now, when we are being somebody else, we are actually extending a part of how we want others to perceive us. So I'm a very nice boy. I'm a very supportive guy. I'm a very freedom loving. I'm a very liberal guy. But actually within, I have my own limitations, which perhaps I'm not telling the girl in the first bit. Now, the betrayal sets in where the moment reality strikes, where the marriage commitment happens. Oh, you didn't tell me about this. You never had freedom to use your money the way you wanted, though you are a very rich guy, but then you don't have any of your individual stuff. You don't have an identity within the family. Everything is being handled by somebody else and all those kind of things, even in India or internationally, when we even expats, when we are seeing people here in the Middle East where they come in. There are people who are having even this easy access to moving out of a relationship and moving into another relationship the very next day through the apps, and now the legalization of many of these dating apps that have come in. The options are always available. So where are we creating a value and commitment? And then this is all becoming more of a transaction that you give me more or you give me less and then I'll move out. So moving out and quitting is the easiest thing people are falling out with. That is why this entire anxiety gamut around the relationship. What if I hit someone in a relationship which is karmic, where I've already had broken trust in two of my relationships with somebody, actually exploited me for my money, for my trust, for my faith, for whatever. And here I am again looking for companions. And there are so many clients who come now who feel lonely. Mm. Or through Tinder apps, one girl came to me who had about nearly 45 relationships that she'd been into. Different types of people that she's exploring. But at the end of it, she came to me for, I'm lonely and I'm looking for some kind of a support, because what I'm looking for yet, I've not got it. So many of us, we are also lost into finding the correct karmic partner who can take care of us, because eventually what we're looking for is security. Because even if you are in a relationship with the best looking person under the sun, yeah, but if you're not secured, if you can't trust that person, that best looking person has no meaning in that relationship. You need to have someone who's more steady and stable in their mind and is not willing to quit no matter what happens.
But is it really the other person's responsibility to make you feel secure in a relationship?
It is an inner security that reflects, obviously, but then at the end of it, where do you then come into this exact, what I said, the karmic soulmate relationship or the karmic contract? There is an interdependency. Why did you come together in the first place?
Or else you wouldn't need the other person.
Exactly. Oh, right. So what we actually talk about is the completion of both the individuals. When someone comes to us for relationship counseling, we are looking for, like through happiness coaching, for example, when we say happiness comes out as a part of the security that you feel in a certain space. So it's an inside out process. It's more inside to extrinsic process. So first thing, we focus on that inner security, where all those inner children who felt neglected, who felt uncared for. So this is a very interesting equation, that whenever a person comes to us for any incompletions coming from, let's say, a relationship area, we look for their relationship with their own mother first. With their mother. Because how I received love as my, you know, my childhood association is how I fulfilled I will be. I'll not depend on the other person for that love void to be filled.
Wow, that's so powerful.
That's the first thing that we look for. My first question always to my clients is, how was your relationship with your mother?
So when they come to you for relationship issues, that's the first question you ask.
Yes, and the second, if it's a girl or a female client, I always see, what is your impression of the father that you're expecting from your partner, which the partner is not fulfilling? Because every time we say a boy is looking for a mother in the wife, and the girl is looking for the father's reflection in the husband. And when these formats, or sometimes if the father has been like a loser or a quitter or an abuser or a alcoholic or a druggist or whatever, and then they went into another relationship. Now this do's and don'ts that you built even before as the expectation that I want my spouse to be this, 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 this entire list that you have is all the never say never scenarios, and you exactly land up attracting a similar partner who exactly plays the same pattern coming from the past. And you have to first, again, when you're quitting from one relationship, you move on to the another one.
Yeah.
You have to close the pattern with the earlier partner.
What does that mean?
You have to learn your lessons. What didn't work out in that relationship? When they fall out, don't go with the same unhealed self to another relationship.
Because then you're just creating the pattern.
You're just creating the same pattern again. So you need to first learn and grow out of what went wrong, where you allowed the other person to violate your peace and your own self-esteem or worthiness in terms of your expressions and in terms of what is it that you were compromising about, where you wanted to assertively draw your boundaries. So drawing boundaries in relationship also is a very important area, because karmic contracts also require that boundaries, that this is what I can do, this is what I cannot do. But there are lessons. Once again, I accept you, but then everything else that is coming as a package with your family, I will not accept that family. But then you're a part of that soul group. You're here to serve. You're here to be. You're here to experience and unconditionally give, not only to your partner or spouse, but also to the families that are getting entangled. Or just if, even if you're staying nuclear, for example.
Yeah.
Today, with the COVID time, we've understood the interdependency of all those families and parents and, you know, people who had children. The couples, so-called, they needed their mothers to come from other countries and stay with them to take care of the child. Or they are always, most of the time, with nannies around because both of them are working. So there is, you know, the importance of staying together is also coming now for the millennial couples.
Wow.
Because these are the areas which we need to understand, that it's not just a standalone. And that is where they then move into being the ding couples, what I just referred.
Yeah.
That they don't want a child, because then who will take care of the child? They first want to experience life so that they can afford a certain kind of a lifestyle. So the whole effort or the focus is on building a lifestyle first and then having a child. So they're putting conditions, oh, we'll plan a child when we have a home, when we don't have home, when we settle, we go back here, we go back there. All this is giving them more anxiety, because then the future is not clear. And then, do I really depend on this partner or not depend on the partner? Then, okay, financially, I got to be independent. There is something called emotional independence that I work towards first thing, whenever there is a dispute between two people. So your emotional independence, healing your entire childhood, come together based on your completion. Don't come together with anyone as an interdependency on an illusion that the other person completes me. Because the more you build that dependency on the other person, because you asked me a question that how do you exactly not fall out?
Yeah.
By being emotionally independent, that anything that is happening in every area of my life, I am first complete within myself.
Mm.
And the other person exactly who comes in, see, it's like a lock and key.
Mm.
The more complete that you are, is exactly the other person also will come and set into that karmic mold.
Mm.
Who will be equally complete.
Yeah.
If you have facets that get triggered here and there, the other person will exactly come and press those buttons in areas where you'll get triggered and you will trigger the other person. So after a while, when the honeymoon phase is over, because in the honeymoon phase, we're all focusing on each other's strengths. And trying to complement the weakness. But the moment commitment happens, now that need to complement is gone. Now you're trying to correct the other person, condescending the other person, trying to bring that element to grow from that child to the adult. And that adult never comes up.
Wow.
And then the clashes of those inner children that go completely sour in a relationship. And that is where the soul contract completely gets messed up.
So my question to you is, okay, so let's say you have a couple, they're in a relationship and it's rocky, right? So at what point do you say, you know what, this relationship is healthy or this relationship is toxic? Or at what point do you say, you know what, I need to work on my issues, you need to work on your issues, but we stay together, even though if it's rocky.
Yes.
So how do you differentiate, like, when it's time to leave or when it's time to stay and still work on yourself?
Yeah. So karmic relationships where one of the person will always be in the quit mode, the one who's the head rule person, who's already seeing the relationship as liability, will move on already to somebody else. And the other person who's the heart rule person will cling on. So they want, and they go into pleasing and they want to stay. They will say, I'll do anything for you. So usually the counseling couples also, when they come to us for help, the one who's the heart rule comes first. The head rule always is already honest. I don't need therapy. Even when the wife is trying to drag the husband, or the, you know, one partner who's the head rule saying, I don't need, I'm already sorted and I've been always managing my issues. So one person is constantly, can't you understand mode? And the other person is, can't you tell me mode?
So the head ruled partner is already
quitting. And they fall apart. They are the first one who say, I have no issues. If you want to divorce tomorrow, I'm too detached. I'm already fine. Let's move on. You know, let's find an alternative. All those things. But heart ruled is the one who actually
wants to work on it.
So then we check for the intent from the person that who wants to stay and who wants to quit. Mm. And then bring them together on a common consensus plan, common minimum plan, that, okay, what is it that you want to stay together for? And if there's a child for which they want to stay together, or there's a business, maybe they bought a property together, they invested, maybe here the spouse has sponsored them, the person has sponsored me. You know, those are the kind of things for which they come together. Now there is some kind of a counseling and interventions required. Now that's also something that we need to talk about.
So,
and we see.
So now it comes down to, now that we know that we have the heart rule personality and the head rule personality and all the dysfunctionality that comes with it, how do you now then work?
Strike a balance.
Yeah.
So both of them need to come together for that I want to stay together, or even if when we fall apart, we want to fall apart on a resolved note.
Hmm.
It's not like the hurtful or rejection note that we are moving away. That's the first thing that we need to work. Because honeymoon phase, no one wants to come for therapy. Plateau phase, they're already coping with their own dysfunctionality, or maybe husband is too busy into his work, wife is too busy with children. That's the plateau phase. It's from plateau to disillusionment phase when it actually converts to, is where one of them will come for therapy, which is mostly the heart rule person. And that mostly, again, is the wife or the husband, whoever is being, you know, into the receiving end of emotional turmoil with the fear of loneliness is where they come and say, please save my marriage.
So
that's where it comes in.
So to like move on towards the end of the session, I want to know, how do you then break the relationship and move on without creating more karmic entanglements or more contracts, let's say?
Yeah.
What's a healthy way
of
breaking off a relationship if you've come to that point?
By learning what is it that I allowed this person to violate in my space and working on those triggered parts, because those triggered parts are the inner children. They attracted a certain kind of personality which was known, which is again the parental impression, the mother's incompletion, the father's incompletion, and the expectation in relationship. You need to work with that entire personality in that totality. You work with an individual, even if the other person partner is not willing. If they both are willing to stay together or fall apart, now that's a different story. But their objective actually decides the course of how they will come together, or they will be coached, or once they will just move on. Again, when we also do, for those who believe those cultures who go into past life regressions and stuff like that, we also look at the soul contract from the higher self perspective and check, why did we attract such a partner? What was my learning?
Because it all comes down to your learning and your growth as
your
an
growth.
Individual.
Yeah, because each one of us, whether it's a soul partner, a soul karmic partner, or a twin soul, this is purely again coming together for facilitating your spiritual growth. We are all here to grow.
Yeah.
We have that, you know, we have no choice but to keep growing.
Because you mentioned earlier how karmic relationships are more heavy, whereas twin souls...
Yes.
Our relationships with a twin soul, it's more...
The texture is entirely different.
It's different. It's lighter.
They support each other. They understand each other. Even when there are differences, they come and sit together and talk about things. They facilitate each one's... They give a feedback to each other rather than quarreling about things.
Mm.
Even if there is a dispute or a quarrel or a dysfunctionality, they still work through it. They stay in the most spiritual, growing manner in order to facilitate. Even when they trigger, there is awareness.
Got you.
In the twin soul format.
Got you.
So maybe something that we will have a future discussion.
I think we would need a completely different...
Maybe a part two of this podcast.
We definitely would. Just before we end this episode, I wanted to ask you one word that you kept saying a lot was work on X and Y issues, right?
Right.
So what exactly does it mean to work on these issues? And what would the end goal of working on these issues be?
in relationship, there are only two areas that you need to work with. One, when the spouse or the partner starts becoming too controlling, like the authority that you've already had as your parents, you need to actually be the less authority in a relationship. Don't operate out of control. See, love and association is the heart chakra emotion. You don't bring it down to solar chakra. You know, and when the moment you try to become possessive, the moment you try to become this dependent, controlling personality, the other person will not like it. Yeah. So the two very important aspects that you work in a relationship harmony is, one is the self-esteem. Because the self-esteem of a person, how much do I deserve and how much do I need to express myself, is coming from the childhood programming that the parents gave us. So self-esteem is the first area with which we work with in the self-completion.
Yeah.
And the second is the passive-aggressive behavior, the challenging part and the infidelity part when it comes that I have this tendency to stray or go out of this relationship. So it's a passive aggressiveness. When the partner is becoming too controlling, this person gets restless to look for an emotional support outside of a relationship. So we have a very structured questionnaire, which we give it to couples when they come to us. It's like a suggestibility questionnaire, which has 36 questions that define all the areas of their requirements which are not being met. And there's another questionnaire that we offer it, which is called the sexuality questionnaire, which are 40 questions. Mm. When they give this 36 and 40 questions, the entire compatibility chart is built.
Wow.
With handwriting, et cetera, that we check.
Wow, that's
so self-esteem and the authority, issues with authority.
So these are the two things that every person should work on in their relationship.
100%. And as I said, the relationship with the mother.
And the relationship with the mother. These very, very important.
Yes.
So unfortunately, we have now come to the end of our episode. I love having these conversations with you, sir.
Thank you, viewers, for being with us.
Absolutely. And thank you, Nia. Thank you to everyone who's listening. So before we end, is there anything else that you would like to say or end this session with?
Just be in a relationship, two areas, draw your boundaries well, and also get into a relationship not looking for your completion in the other person. That's the first thing that I would like to tell everybody. Whoever, wherever you are in the relationship at the end, don't look for completion in the other person. Be your complete self. Learn from all your past breakups and trust issues. Resolve all of that so that you move on to like a new life or new relationship or new beginning that you're looking for. Base that on your completions, not an incompletion where you depend entirely on the other person to give you that happiness. Be the happiness yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much, sir. And hopefully I will see you for part two. Until then, I wish you all take care and stay safe.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.